Again, my name is Tracy McMahon, and I work at Sanford Research, and the research I'm going to be presenting on today, My Culture, My Family, My School, Me, Identifying Strengths in the Lives and Communities of American Indian Youth, is going to be looking at using a strength-based approach to identify these strengths, which is in opposition to a deficits-based approach that's often used in social and behavioral and psychological research. I have no relationships to disclose at this time, but I will mention that the opinions that I'm expressing are not those of Indian Health Services. They don't necessarily reflect the views of IHS. So again, just to give you a brief overview of what it is that I'll be talking about, I'm going to start by explaining what a strengths-based perspective is and give you some of the participant demographics of the study participants and run over some of the survey questions that were asked. But I'm going to try to spend most of my time presenting the data. And this is qualitative data. It was collected in addition to some quantitative measures, but I'm going to allow you to read their responses directly. So a lot of us that work with Native Americans in research, we see a lot of statistics on alcoholism and motor vehicle accidents, diabetes, unintentional injuries to suicide, and a lot of mental health problems. And although there is value in studying these things, really the point here is to try to raise that discussion level to a level that's comparable to talking not just about problems, but talking about the things that are going well, things that are going right. Very little positive research is done with Native American people. The goal here is to give American Indian people a voice, especially those youth. So we're focusing on the things that they love about their lives and the things that they love about their communities, but also talking about the things that they want to change. And again, the goal here is in filling the gap between that predominant focus on vulnerabilities, problems, and needs towards focusing more on resiliency, strengths, and assets. And the tribe that I'm going to be talking about, I'm not going to tell you which tribe I worked with specifically, but it was in the Aberdeen area, which is located in the Northern Plains, and includes states like North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa. And again, you know, a strengths-based approach starts with the assumption that people are capable, competent, adaptive, and resilient. And recognizing and understanding community needs and mechanisms of resilience is arguably as important, if not more important, than identifying its shortcomings and defining its deficiency. However, a lot of the research that is done with American Indian communities often focuses on those vulnerabilities and problems and needs rather than the resiliency, strengths, and assets. But it is through recognizing the factors that strengthen communities, which empower such communities, to mobilize themselves to address problems. And focusing on strengths can also be a mechanism to avoid community development policies often imposed on impoverished and politically disempowered communities based on the assumption that poor communities have little to offer outside of cheap land, cheap labor, and a host of social problems. And we definitely see this in the Dakota areas. But research must look beyond pathology to adaptive development assets from the standpoint of prevention and promotion. And this is, again, taking a step towards trying to restore that balance in research efforts, which requires that appreciation of the those accomplishments as well as the struggles of human existence. We had 95 participants in this study. Most of them were female. We had 58 females and 37 males. The average age was 17.3, but the age range was from 14 years of age to approximately 21 years of age. And we had students attending both a main high school and an alternative high school, with most of those coming from the main high school. All of the study participants were American Indian and Alaska Native, but there were quite a few that also identified with other races as well. So we have approximately 10% that were also Caucasian, and another 1% that also identified as African American, and approximately 3% that also identified as Hispanic. And the multiracial category that you see right there at the bottom at 1% are those that were more than two races, say African-American, Caucasian, and American Indian. The living situation of a lot of our participants was quite diverse. Only 27% were living with both their parents. Approximately 35% were living with just their mother. 10.5% living with just their father. And approximately 10% living with just grandparents, and non-related adult, 11.6%, or no adults in the household, that was 5.3%. And the missing is just unreported data right there at the bottom. So these were the questions that we asked. What are some things you love about your life? What are some things you would change about your life? What are some things you love about your community? And what are some things that you would change about your community? Qualitative data was very well covered in the seatbelt study, as we heard earlier, so I won't spend too much time on this. But these were not questions from an interview, but were open-ended questions. So we collected this data in combination with some quantitative measures. But the questions were directly as read before. You know, what do you love about your life? What do you love about your community? And what are those things you want to change? And we did an inductive content analysis, which was also covered previously, and used inter-rater reliability, which refers to the extent to which the coders agree on the categories in which qualitative data is placed. And we had several coders going through and looking at the data to make sure that there was agreement. And we used Cohen's Kappa to ensure that that inter-rater reliability was met, and it was. It was between the ranges of 0.82 and 0.98. So starting off with the first question, what are some things you love about your life? This person said, I love that I am still in school and haven't had a baby yet. I also love that I am Native American and still have my parents around. I love that my family is always there for one another. And family was a very common theme that we saw in relation to this question. And a lot of people even commented in relation to friends and family together in their response. So here's an example of that. I got family that helps me a lot, and friends I love a lot, and my friends understand me when I talk to them about my problems. A lot of them also talked about themselves. I love that I am so happy, can make people laugh, my style, I am a deep thinking, my being positive, and did I say my style? School is also something that was frequently mentioned. I love being a mom to my son. I love going to school so I can get a good education. I love the things that I am doing now. And there was also a reference to the opportunities they had in the community. I love my bull riding career and mainly sports. But other things that were also mentioned were the activities that were available in the community. Culture was also another theme. I love the fact that I grew up on the reservation and attended Native American school. And a lot of the students actually said everything. I love everything about my life, which we'll see again coming up in response to the other questions as well. Environment was another theme, being around my family and that I live in a drug and alcohol-free home, which you see a lot in the Northern Plains tribes. There's a lot of alcoholism, but there's a lot of complete absence of any alcohol as well. Other themes that were brought up, there was one person that said they didn't love anything, and there were three people that said they didn't know, and then we had some miscellaneous categories that showed up there as well. So in relation to what are some things that you love about your community, we didn't see as many responses to this question as we did in the previous one. There were six people that did not respond, and the responses that we received were not as elaborate as the ones that we asked about their personal lives. This will be discussed a little bit more towards the end. We're not sure if it's because of the similarity of categories that people just felt that they had already explained that in their previous question, so kept their second response brief. But there's other things that could be drawn from that as well. Again, people came up often. The closest to the people, all the friendly people who wave. Another 17-year-old female wrote, you never can feel poor or rich. Someone out there has been in your shoes and can help or tell you where to go. Facilities, resources, activities. It's got a fitness center and a brand new school. Again, there were a lot of responses that mentioned school and the different activities that were available. American Indian culture and traditions. I love that we have powwows for holidays. I love that most of our community takes part and goes their traditional way. The land I live on. And then other themes also. Some also said that they did not love anything. There were eight people that said this. There were some miscellaneous categories as well. One example of that is just the fact that it's where I'm from. And there were four people that said everything, like we saw in the response to the first question. And there were three that didn't know. Now, for the next half of this presentation, I'm going to talk about the things that they identified as sources of change. And surprisingly, a lot of the students said that they would not change anything about their lives. I wouldn't change anything at all. My life was and is a learning experience. I love my life. And a lot of the responses that fell into this nothing theme reflected similar attitudes of loving everything about their lives. Making better choices in general. All the trouble I got into to learn the first time I made a mistake. And this was also something that came up often in relation to school or getting in trouble with the law or any form of substance abuse. School related. If I could change something about my life, I would have never dropped out of school in the first place because I could be so far ahead if I never made the wrong choices. Substance abuse was also a common theme. I wish I could change the fact that my dad's an alcoholic. My mom is disabled from working. I wish I didn't have to be the head of the household and support my mom, dad, sisters, and nieces. I wish I could change that. And also in relation to substance abuse, it wasn't just in relation to their parents that this was brought up. You know, there was also mention of substance abuse being a problem, you know, in the community or the tribe as a whole, or even with themselves. Living situation, environment. If I could change something personally, I would relocate my family or immediate family to a more urban area. But then again, maybe God put my family and I here for a reason. And in South Dakota, North Dakota, Iowa, we see a lot of urbanization of the American Indian tribes there. Family problems. Bringing my auntie back to help my mom with her bills at home, to have my dad quit drinking. You know, as you can see in some of these responses, they were referencing several themes even in one response, like the substance abuse and family problems. Appearance. Obesity is a problem that we see in a lot of the reservations in this area. Some things I would change about my life are my weight, my health. And again, like we saw in response to the other questions, we had some miscellaneous categories and several people that said that they didn't know what they would change. Next, they were asked, what are some things you would change about your community? Substance abuse was the most frequently noted theme. So here's one. The alcohol and drugs are killing my people and our culture. Appearance, environment. I would change all the messed up roads we have. And also in relation to appearance, environment, a lot of this referenced either the roads being in such poor condition or the pollution, littering, things like that. We also saw many people that said that they would not change anything about their communities either. It's something that has been brought up frequently. The people, that everybody needs to be on the same side, and people not going at each other in the same community. Lack of support, getting everyone together and talk. Having more facilities and activities available. Having more things to do for the young kids and teenagers. I would like to change the people who aren't positive along with the whole gang scene. And we've seen a resurgence of the gang scene there in this area as well. It's becoming quite prevalent. Other things that were brought up, they don't know, money problems. I would change the way we manage our income and have more community activities. And there were 6 people that said that they loved everything about their community. And it would not change anything. One of the primary purposes of the study was to identify both the sources of strength along with the sources of struggle in the lives and communities of American Indian youth. The people in their lives, especially their families, were repeatedly cited as sources of strength and an integral component of community-based interventions with AIU. So one of the implications of this would be that in the future, when we are designing interventions to work with this community, that it's very important to not focus so much on the individual as that agent of change, but also trying to include the family and the tribe as that agent of change, drawing more on that collective culture. There's some other future theoretical applications that could be used in relation to this as well. You know, as I had mentioned, you know, when people are talking about, ask what they would change about their lives or about their communities, there are quite a few people that would say nothing. But of course, change is happening all the time, whether or not you're aware of it or you're conscious of how it is that you're participating in change. So one of the theoretical applications that may be relevant here is looking at Barrett's theory of power, which may be a useful tool to place the identifiers of strengths and struggles reported in the study in the context of perceived power, and to empower youth to take ownership of their collective future. Barrett's power theory is an axiom of Rogers' theory on human participation in change, and that change is inevitable and unavoidable, so we are always participating in it. And Barrett's elaboration is just that it adds a dimension of power and freedom and intention to human participation in change. So change is viewed by Barrett as a mutual process and continuous participation that may or may not be knowing, and clarifies that power as knowing participation in change is being aware of what one is choosing to do, feeling free to do it, and doing it intentionally. I'd like to thank all the people that helped in this study, the PI, Dr. Danielle Kenyon, from Stanford Research and USD. Special thanks also to Jessica Carter, who is also here, who had many contributions to this project, and also to all of the American Indian youth who participated in this project, and all the faculty at the school who were very welcoming. Without their help, we could have not completed this project. Thank you.